We're currently at our rising path, which was constructed to interpret the systematic beds and overlook it so that you can get up onto the path and actually look down onto the beds and get an idea of how they're laid out and what they do.
I'm excited about this because the last time I came and had a stroll up here, which was probably the first time I'd been up this newish construction, there wasn't much to see because I'd come at the wrong time of year. It was sort of snowdrop season, and so that's the point when actually the systematic beds are kind of asleep, you know, they're kind of waiting, there's all going on under the soil.
Yeah, well, we hope you'll see a difference, although I won't claim that it's finished, so there are still some holes, but yeah, you can begin to see what the systematic beds might look like when we've finished all the horticultural elements of the work.
So people who've been here will know what you mean when you say systematic beds, but you know, it's one of those sort of botanical garden things.
Definitely. So basically the systematic beds are what are called in other gardens family order beds, which probably makes much more sense because they do just demonstrate particular plant families and how they relate. So one bed leads to the next family in the evolutionary kind of calendar almost. So you can begin to connect families, but also species in general within particular families as well. So it's an ordered way of showing plant evolution, really.
When you managed to time that explanation perfectly for our arrival at the viewing part of the rising path, because here we are at the pinnacle, the apex of this path, and what a view it gives you looking out over all of these beds.
Yeah, so you can just get a really good idea of the extent and scope of the sort of order beds or the systematics, and you can begin to see that they're filling out and we can see, you know, different families. So we have maps and plans showing which family is which.
I'm going to come look at the maps and plans. So what we've got, there's a lot of brilliant Latin names going on, which I'm not even going to try and say.
Yeah, so it is obviously that thing that, you know, in order for us to understand or classify plants properly, they are all individual species have their own name, and it's all in Latin because it's a common horticultural taxonomic scientific language, and which can be baffling to the to the novice because, you know, it sounds like double Dutch. But actually, the more interested you get in gardens and plants, the more natural it becomes to use Latin names. But obviously there is a place as well for common names. So looking just from here, I can see that we've got Mirabilis jalapa, but it's also called the 4 o'clock marvel of Peru. So you can begin to understand, you know, what we're talking about. And over on this next bed, which is the Polygonaceae family, we've got the rhubarbs, or the rheums as they are in Latin. So yeah, you know, it's just piecing things together and actually beginning to understand something about Latin names as well as common names too.
So how do they then all, how does it work when you're looking at it?
We have a central almost wheel, which is the monocot family, so monocotyledonous plants, so those plants that germinate with one true seed leaf.
And is that kind of grassy things?
Yeah, that's it. So it contains things like grasses, bulbs, irises and palms are the predominant families there, or the predominant plant types. And they're all related, you know, the one thing that ties them together is that one true seed leaf. So that's a very, very basic level of classification. When you get outside the wheel, everything has two true seed leaves. So as in a bean. So when you germinate your beans, you'll have two leaves that look like a typical leaf rather than a single, you know, erect upright leaf.
And anyone who's grown anything, you kind of get to know that you put a seed in, you know, when it starts to germinate, it comes up with those two seed leaves, which are almost always different to what then grows. But those seed leaves, those first leaves, are kind of a bit more primitive, I suppose.
Yeah, they're the simple first emerging leaves. So the plant will evolve from that to take on all the characteristics that you'll see when you come and look at them on the systematic beds.
What I think is amazing about systematic beds is realising what plants are related. Like you said, the rhubarbs, you might not realise that there's a plant you put in your garden which is actually closely related to the rhubarb on your allotment.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So there are ornamental rhubarbs and there are useful rhubarbs as well. And here on this bed you can also see some of the more ornamental relations of that family. So things like the polygonums and persicarias, so giant knotweed in essence, is also part of the rhubarb family. And if you start looking at the flowers particularly, you can see that they are actually very, very similar in structure and form. Not identical, but similar.
Things like rosaceae, I think, is amazing. People hear that word, they'll think roses. But the amount of varied things, both garden allotment again, which are back in that family, is kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's an amazing family. So it's one of the best represented families in the British flora. And there are a whole range of roses, as you might say, within the family. So yeah, we have the rose, but then there are things like strawberries, which, you know, you kind of think, really? things like meadow sweet, Filipendula armaria, potentillas. There's a whole host of plants that are very closely related, but don't superficially look as if they've got anything to do with one another at all. But yeah, if you start looking at the detail, particularly in the flower, you can see that there are similarities that bind them all together within that family.
It's like a whole education about the world you live in and all of the flora around you walking around these beds.
Definitely. So if you stand in the middle of the beds, you can actually, you know, start to understand kind of the geography of plants as well. So in the centre of the beds, we've got the grasses, and right in the middle, we've got a bamboo from China, so an Asian bamboo. But then if you hop across to other beds within the even just the grass family, you'll come across things like Pennisetum villosum, which is a Mediterranean plant. So yeah, there's just so many different ways to look at the plants here, not just by family, but you can look at different forms. So you can see, you know, the grasses have very, very soft foliage, often it drapes, and then you'll get these fantastic almost panicles of flower, and which produce incredible seed heads as well. And they are all very similar, in contrast to the iris family, which is again a monocotyledonous family, so it has only the one true seed leaf. But the leaf is just much more linear and erect, so it's almost sword-like. And you can see that similarity within the plants within that family too.
So coming underneath, people might think that the rising path is just the path itself, but you've managed to create this whole educational section underneath the path as well.
Yeah, it was something that we were really, really keen to do. So the project was actually about interpreting the systematic beds. So where you can come and look at, you know, the interpretation and learn more about the systematics, learn more about classification, learn more about the history of classification. This was really what we wanted to do when we set about the whole project of looking at the systematic beds.
It's amazing. There's so much here. This is actually very clever because it feels very sort of child-friendly, very school-friendly. There's lots of colours, lots of tactile aspects, but it isn't dumbed down. There's loads of Latin names for banding and a lot of information as well.
We took an awful lot of time trying to work out how best to interpret and what we wanted to interpret, but what we were keen to do was have something that everybody could be interested in. So there are kind of games that children can come and play with, just sorting out families and trying to match things. So it's a bit like a game of Snap almost. But then actually having enough interpretation as well for visitors to, you know, sort of our adult visitors to enjoy and get engrossed with and understand. And we hope that anybody who comes to this area of the garden will go away and just understand a little bit more about classification generally and understand why this whole system of Latin names and taxonomy was imposed on the plant world by humans to make it easy for us.